Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. And one more time for the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. So good to have you in the house of the Lord here in Columbia, Maryland, and in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. Can we give the Creative Arts Ministry, the Worship Arts Ministry, a wonderful round of applause? And to all of you, whether you are in your kitchen or in your car or at home or here in the house, I say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve. Well, today's title is Get With It. Get With It. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been able to worship you and to recognize all of the creativity and artistry that comes straight from you. Now, as we go into this short word, would you please allow it to go into us? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. Have you ever considered the withness of God? The withness of God. Not the witness of God, but the withness of God. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, prophesied that one day there would be this baby born of a virgin. It says in Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Then in a dream to Joseph in Matthew 1:23, 700 years later, prior to the birth of Christ, that angel tells Joseph, don't put Mary away because she's going to give birth to Emmanuel, which means God with us. And there it is. The good news in a nutshell, three words, God with us. And Lord knows we need God with us now more than ever before, don't we? And some of you may need God with you now more than ever before. The beautiful thing about God is he not only knows how to meet us in our point of need, but he knows how to manifest his presence when we need him the most. And the text says that this baby that would come would be Emmanuel, God with us. That really is the Christmas message. That's a gospel message, God with us. Cool thing about God is he not only wants to be with you, he actually knows how to be with you. He wants to be with us. What's really cool about God is he actually knows how to be with us. Have you ever had somebody that was with you, but they just didn't know how to be with you? It's one thing to be with someone. It's another thing to know how to be with someone. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. We want to be there for someone, but we just don't know how to be there with them. We teach our ministers in training, when you make a hospital visit, what do you do when you go to the hospital? What do you do? How long do you stay? If somebody loses a family member at the house, when you go visit with them, what do you say? How can I be with you? If you got a friend struggling at work or somebody dealing with pain in their life, how can you be with them? You've got a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend and you want to be with them, but you just don't know how. Has that ever been an experience for you? Should I be silent? Should I make jokes and bring some levity because things are so heavy? Should I be a counselor or an advisor? Should I just be a prayer partner and intercede on their behalf? Maybe a practical application is simply to ask people, hey, how can I best be with you right now? You'd be amazed if you just asked that question practically. You no longer have to guess. They might be honest with you and say, leave. No, but seriously, the reality is sometimes we want you to be with us, but we just don't want you to talk right now. Or we want you to just hold us. Or we want you to take us away from the situation by at least allowing us a little bit of levity and jokes or whatever. God knows just how to be with us. When you're lonely, he's our companion. When you're sad, he's our comforter. When you're stressed, he can be our calm in the midst of the storm. And when we see the names prophesied about him, we learn something about the wonderful names of God. And the names of great wonder come in Isaiah 9:6 as well, just a couple chapters later from the one we quoted earlier in Isaiah 7:14. The prophet speaks again about the newborn king to come 700 years into the future. And he says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders." I want you to notice the child is born, but the son is given. God gave us his son. "And the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called," listen to these four names, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, this Old Testament prophet Isaiah is telling us that this newborn child will be just what we need right when we need him. And if I were to put this sermon in a sentence, I'd simply say that the wonders of his name match the needs of our hearts. The wonder of his names match the needs of our heart. God knows how to be with us, and his names manifest that. Whatever you're going through, guess what? He's got a name for that. You're worried? He's got a name for that. Wonderful Counselor. You're weak? He's got a name for that. Mighty God. You're a wayward child? He's got a name for that. Everlasting Father. You're warring in conflict with your own spirit, your own life, or somebody outside of you or something inside of you? He's got a name for that. Prince of Peace. You know, last week when I was preaching, I talked about my cell phone and how I plug it in at the office at home, and then I go upstairs and go to bed, and sometimes I'll wake up and come downstairs to get it the next morning, and it's still not charged. I've used that illustration before, and what I said was you plug the plug in, and you think it's in there, and then you realize that it's close, but it's not connected. Interesting thing happened to me this week. I needed to get a new charger for my phone and a new casing. And so here in my office, I had to go to radio show. So what I did is I plugged it in. So by the time I get back from the show, my phone will be charged. And lo and behold, it happened again. Plugged it in, sitting in there. Come back after the show. Guess what? It's still not charged. It's at the same low percentage it was at before. So I'm wondering, how did this happen? I preach about this. I know. I don't want my phone and the cord to be close. I want it to be connected. And I said to you, just like us, we can be in church. We can know church. We can know religion. We can know the worship songs. But there's a difference between being close to God and being connected with God. And some of you are real close. Close to the church, close to the word, close to the worship. You're close, but not connected. But why would this happen again? And then I found out why, y'all. Here it is. Ready for the lesson? What I found out is that with the new casing, the plug goes in and it holds it. But the only way to get it to have a full connection is you actually have to take the casing off. And then the plug can go in uninhibited. And what I discovered is that the reason why the connection wasn't being made is because there was the rubber casing coming in between the cord and the jack. And so if I wanted it to be fully connected without any inhibition, what I had to do was to remove the rubber casing so that there was nothing in between the jack and the cord. You know where I'm going already. What happens is in our connection with God, we may wonder, why are we losing our peace? Why is our peace not there? Why is the connection not there? Maybe there's something in between you and God. And what God is saying, I like having you close. I want you to be connected. But the reality is there's something between you and God that's blocking the connection. So like I had to remove the rubber casing. Maybe God is saying there's some blocker in your life that needs to be removed so that the power can flow. What is it in between you and God that is blocking the full connection this Christmas? Whatever it is that must be removed in order for the connection to be uninhibited may be the best Christmas gift that you could give to God this year. Give him your blocker. Whatever it is, whatever the rubber casing is that separates you from him, maybe that can be your gift to God. Here, God, take it. You might be thinking, well, what kind of gift would that be to God? You want me to give God my sin? Because the Bible says that sin separates us from God? Yeah. But whether it's your sin or maybe it's just a distraction, anything that's blocking your relationship with him, give it to him. It could be a habit or an attitude. It could be an idol, even a career or a job. I've seen people pray hard for a new career, a new job, a new contract. They get it, God blesses them with it. They say, thank you, hallelujah, Jesus, and you never see them in church anymore. Don't you think it would be the opposite? God, you bless me so good, I can't wait to worship you more. God, you bless me so good, I can't wait to give more. I can't wait to serve more. And yet, we can get blessed right out of our real blessing. And then we get a blocker. The best gift you can give to God may be your blocker. Do you know what your blocker is? Maybe your blocker is not a what. Maybe your blocker is a who. I ain't saying nothing, y'all. I'm just preaching the word. I'll let the Holy Spirit work on that one. When you give it to him, listen, he knows how to erase sins and bad habits. He knows how to give you freedom when you're fully connected. And the word teaches us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and they are safe. My sermon in a sentence is right there. The wonder of his names match the needs of your heart. What does your heart need right now? God's got a name for that. We've said so far that Emmanuel means God with us. And one of the ways that he shows up is he manifests himself through his different names. So maybe a practical application is simply call on the name of the Lord when you need him. When you know you need him, call on the name of the Lord. You can call on Jesus anytime. And when you call on Jesus, you get all the other manifestations of God's names. When you call on Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, you get all of God. Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Emmanuel, God with us. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. But call on him first as Lord and Savior. If you've never invited him into your life, listen, there is no other name. In fact, Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So think about those four divine names. When you're worried, call on the Wonderful Counselor. When you're weak, call on the Mighty God. And when you're wayward as a child, call on your Everlasting Father to help you get home. And when you are warring in your spirit or even in the world of conflict, call on the Prince of Peace. You know, one other practical application is that we have Wednesday Night Alive, which are discipleship classes online as well as in person. And the next module starts Wednesday night, January 3rd, the first Wednesday night of the year. And there are seven beautiful different offerings and classes that are available. But one of them is actually on this topic, the names of God, with one of our amazing pastors, Pastor Heiliger, who's going to be teaching us the names of God, discovering how his identity can transform yours. God has so many beautiful, revealing names. We will unveil those in the classes to learn how to apply them to your own life. And as I bring this somewhat to a close, let me just ask you this last question. Have you considered what it took for God to be with you? Have you considered how much it cost for God to be with us? You know, to be with somebody, it costs, doesn't it? It takes time, it takes money, it takes energy. Well, in order for God to come back into fellowship with us, or for us to come back in fellowship with God, it cost God an enormous amount. In fact, John 1:1 says this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Goes on to say in that same chapter in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is Jesus. So back to verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? The Word was God. So Jesus was with God for all eternity past. Never been separated before. In the beginning, they always were together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so let me tell you what it would cost God to be with you. It means that there would have to be divine and eternal separation that they have never experienced before. Remember on the cross, and we'll do the seven last words, and we'll do it at our Owens Mills campus in the spring on Good Friday. But remember those seven last phrases of Jesus? Well, out of the seven of them, three times Jesus addresses God. The first saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The last saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But the middle saying, the fourth saying, guess what he calls it? He doesn't call him Father. You know what he says? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, he was no longer Father. He was God. And he had to turn his back on his son, Jesus, who would then be separated from him for the very first time in all of eternity. Because when he turned his back on his son, Jesus, who died on the cross, he let him take on all the sins of your life, my life, generations past and generations to come. And when he turned his back on his son, Jesus, that was equivalent to eternity in hell for you and me. So what he's saying is the only way I could get you is by turning my back on my son. And only way that we can be with them is if we separate ourselves, that was a day of dread for God, that he would be separated from his son. This was the day when Jesus and the Father would no longer be with each other. In the same way. Why would he do that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's because he loves you. For some reason, he wants to be with you. And the cool thing is, he knows how to be with you. And the Bible says, even though he went away, he's coming back to take us what? With him. And one day we will get to the other side, and this is how it ends in the book of Revelation. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any seas. I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem. Lord, we need a new Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, for he will live what? With them. They will be his people, and God himself will be what? With them and be their God. And once we're together, guess what? I told you he knows how to be with us. Check this out. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. With. Mentioned three times in that verse. With men, with them, with them. Why? One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to be with us, and he's coming back again to take us with him. And if you don't understand how much God loves you, having gone through all of that, you need to get with it. Amen and amen.